Blog Talk Radio.
Outreach Ministries on Sundays. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. You know, saints, we are so blessed. Our God loves us. He cares for us. He responds to us. He answers our prayers. He opens a way where there has been no way before. He does the miraculous for us all the time. We are a blessed people. And we know that you are looking forward to this fast as much as we are. To all of our new listeners, I'm Pastor Sabrina Sessions, and Assistant Pastor Bill Pringle is with us, and so are all of you. And welcome to our Sunday service. We are a Christian internet church and a local church assembly. And we meet here every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America. During the week, we meet as Miracle Internet Church on the Internet at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays and Fridays. So we welcome you in the name of the Lord. And we pray that something that you hear today will encourage you, will bless you, will cause you to think, will cause you even to seek the face of God and to improve and strengthen your relationship with Him. We want to thank the Lord for blessing us, for touching our lives. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with our Sunday services, we celebrate Holy Communion at the beginning of the service. So we encourage you to get your elements together for Holy Communion, because we will shortly be partaking of the Lord's Supper and celebrating it with Him. Let's go before the Lord our God in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for yet another opportunity to gather in your name, to celebrate your word, to celebrate the blood of Jesus, to celebrate the kingdom of God, and the fact that we have obtained such a precious salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. We bless the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for your very presence in our midst, because the Bible promises us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in our midst. And we know that you are here. We even feel your presence. We thank you for the warring, linking angels that surround us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the wall of fire with your very glory in the midst. And we thank you, Lord, for your praising angels that always attend your presence. We know, Lord, that you have a word for us this morning, and that you want to pierce by looking even into our deepest hearts and thoughts. And you want us to look too. You want us to see what you see. You want to touch the places where we need you. So we thank you for your compassion, for your mercy, for your care for your people. And we bless the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the armor of God that you have supplied us with. It's more than what we need. And especially the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper, and that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us. We know, Lord, to trust you with all of our hearts and not to lean to our own understanding, but to acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you will direct our paths. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you, to honor you, to serve you in the land of the living. Because once we leave this life, there's nothing here that we can do. But while we are here, we are your ambassadors. And we pray, Lord, that we are fitting ambassadors, that you may use our lives to bring men, women, boys, and girls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We bind Satan, the strong man, all of his angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, underlings, and we cancel all of their demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals, channels, open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones, and we bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. And we bind the demons and the workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains in darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of every witchcraft attack, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for all eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporting, watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, technology demons, Leviathan spirits, Kundalini spirits, water and marine spirits, sex devils, unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, all seducing, all womanizing, all drone, all whoredom spirits, and all of their attacks. All the voices of the stranger we bind in Jesus' name. We bind all hypnotic and trance devils and all of their attacks. Every mystic ritual and its intent, and we overturn and empty every cauldron, every chalice on the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts, Egyptian magic, Chaldean magic, Hindu, Indian, African, European. We bind all witchcraft in Jesus' name. And we bind all Morgellons attacks. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils, all evil spirits that shapeshift. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his power to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the Lord of the flies and all of his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind satanic ritual abuse in Jesus' name. We bind all formations of bullflies, demonic insects, spiders, their spider webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, mammon and his agents, and we bind every devil, every demon, every evil spirit sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, and reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, the New Age movement, all false religions, numerology, horoscopes, the spirit and the children of disobedience, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Jezebelic and Ahab practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, we return them to the sender in Jesus' name, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards. We bind it all in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Leviathan, the king of pride, and all of his underlings. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and the temptation to sin. You have no power and authority over us in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Basilic, Moloch, Python, Baphomet and his 72, Neptune, Zeus, and Apollyon in Jesus' name. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots. And we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions and we will turn and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head, according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and send their fear, harassments, witchcraft, and mind control back on their own heads in Jesus' name, according to 2 Thessalonians 1:6. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We have come to loose the bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free. In Jesus' name. Make us to know your truth, Father, and your truth will make us free. We've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy in Jesus' name. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for all who are in authority, kings, and all true Christians. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Sword of the Spirit, we cut ourselves free from all ungodly attachments to the demonic realm in Jesus' name. We bind the works of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, shaman, sorcerer, and the like, breaking every curse, hex, vex, spell, charm, and fetish. All spirits of bewitchment, jinxes, potions, mind control, ungodly blessings, chantings, incantations, incense and candle burnings, crystals and root works, tribal rituals and sin, and every form of witchcraft in Jesus' name. We bind spirits of hate, bitterness and murder, spirits of envy and jealousy, wizardry and sorcery. And we thank you, Father, that nothing can overcome Jesus Christ or his blood. We thank you, Lord, that you set us free from bondage, heaviness, fear, and hate, and you have released and poured out into our hearts the Holy Spirit of God. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, saints, we are going to pray in just a moment for persons who need immediate healing in their body. We're going to ask the Lord right after communion to touch them this morning. So I pray that you will be in agreement with me as we pray and seek his face to touch persons who need immediate healing in their vessels in Jesus' name. Now, if you have your elements, we are going to go before the Lord, confessing our sins, our iniquities, our shortcomings, places in our lives where we did not please him. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your forgiveness. We choose by an act of our will, Lord, to forsake our sin, to call it sin, not to justify it or excuse it, but to call it just what it is, sin. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And in our hearts, Father, we ask for your mercy. We ask for your compassion and your love. Yes, we are human and prone to err, but you have given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We thank you, Lord, that as we celebrate Holy Communion with you, we celebrate your death, burial, and resurrection, that we don't take it lightly. It's not a tradition that we do. It is a viable part of our relationship with you, our ongoing and continuous relationship and fellowship with you and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you will accept our repentance and that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness in Jesus' name. Now you may take a moment and speak to the Lord that which you ought to say to him yourself.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread.
And when he had given thanks, thank you, Lord,
he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you.
This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread.
After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Partake of the cup.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show and proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen? Father, we want to thank you for your word and for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for his blood and his blood stripes, because by his stripes we have been healed. To you, Father, all of those who are in need of immediate healing, in Jesus' name, we ask, Lord, that you have mercy upon them and allow your compassion to flow fully to them, Father. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you get their attention, Lord, and that they be convicted of their sin if they have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if they are not in present fellowship with you, Lord, if they have strayed from you or backslidden. We ask, Lord, that you convict them and that you show them the error of their ways and their sin, and that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you and we give you praise for the monumental work, Lord Jesus, that you did on the cross. We thank you for every grace and every blessing and every favor that is poured upon our lives because of your sacrifice and your suffering. We do not take it lightly, Lord. Rather, we take it to heart. And we ask you, Lord, to even change our hearts today as we come before you to study your word, to receive what you have to say to us today. You're asking us questions, Lord, and you desire answers from us, answers of truth. So we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we thank you for receiving us this day in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, saints, let's pray about these few things. We have a few things that we are going to pray about this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we are praying for those who are running away from salvation and the power of God as fast as they can. Lord, we ask you to have mercy upon them and to intervene in their daily affairs, Lord, to lead them to Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you give them the grace of humbling themselves before you, because that is the major problem. It is pride and rebellion. Men don't want to admit that they cannot live without you, and they refuse to do what your authority and your word tell them to. So, Lord, we ask you to have mercy upon them, You know, the Bible says in a place, Father, that, and such were some of you, but now you are washed, now you are clean. Lord, they need to be washed and they need to be clean. So we ask, Father, that you pour out your compassion and your mercy, because they are but dust, just as we are. And we ask, Lord, that you reach for them and through your loving kindness draw them to yourself. We are praying for all who are still trying to convince them to fully surrender to you. Lord, give those of us who are waiting and believing patience and the faith to believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We thank you, Lord, for every healing and miracle to be manifest in the weeks to come by your grace. And we thank you for this fast. Praying for all who have endured satanic attacks recently. We return those attacks to the sender according to the covenant. For you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We're binding the witchcraft which will attend the super blood moon and predicted meteor shower this month. You, Lord, are our keeper. The sun shall not smite us by day, nor the moon by night. For you will preserve us from all evil, and you will preserve our souls. And we thank you for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord, we want to thank you for every country where persons have joined Miracle Outreach Ministries, Miracle Internet Church, and we are serving you in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for that today, Lord. And we want to give you praise, Lord. You are gracious and merciful and kind. You're not willing for any of us to perish. And so you come with the word, Lord, to instruct us, to correct us, to counsel us, to guide us, to teach us. Because when we know better, Lord, we have the opportunity to do better. And we choose to do better. We want to thank you that you have prescribed for our fast water, herbal teas, fruits, and vegetables. We want to thank you for this 4 days, beginning with Tuesday, 12:01 a.m., and ending at midnight on Friday night, Lord. We want to thank you for that. We want to thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that you have already given us to study and to meditate and to learn from those sermons that have already been preached, messages that you gave us from your heart. We thank you, Lord, for us taking you seriously and for coming to you asking you what you want to heal in particular. You know, it may not be what we think, Lord. So we humble ourselves and we seek your counsel and your wisdom. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your power at work. We thank you for your anointing. And help us to stay mindful and to keep our minds on track about what we are doing during this time, Lord. Seeking you is a very serious matter, and we do not take it lightly. We thank you that you love us and that you trust us to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Let the church say amen. So, saints, today we're going to have a very serious conversation. The Lord says to us, be of honest report. Honest report? Yes. Be of honest report. From Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 2, the book of Acts, chapter 6, beginning with verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve table. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. God is looking for saints who have an honest report among men, who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So, are you one of them? Does that describe you? God is looking for believers, for saints who are of honest report, who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Why? He wants to use their lives. So, in verse 5, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and they chose several others. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them and set them apart to the work that God had for them to do. So, saints, we need to allow the Word of God to examine us today to determine if we are indeed of good report. Are we? Are we kidding ourselves? Or are we actually full that God is looking for? And if we are not, what can we do about it? What can be done? Well, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, Proverbs 22 and verse 1 tells us that God approves of believers who live righteous and faithful lives, so much so that others take notice of our integrity. Others take notice of our integrity. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, the Bible says that a good name, a good reputation, is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Well, we know that silver and gold is quite costly, quite expensive, and quite valuable. But the Lord says that a good reputation with him and with others and loving favor that results from him is more valuable than great riches and silver and gold. So the Lord wouldn't lead us astray. So since he has said this to us, we should pay attention to what he's trying to convey. Amen? Integrity is that quality of being filled with sound moral principles, uprightness, honesty, and sincerity. Truthfulness with freedom from fraud, genuineness, straightforwardness of conduct. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for integrity. He's looking for saints with sound moral principle, uprightness, honesty, sincerity, truthfulness, freedom from fraud, genuineness, straightforwardness. Forwardness of conduct. You're not two-faced. Amen? Saying one thing out of one side of your mouth and something else out of the other side. Amen? These are qualities that the Lord desires in each of his saints. The scriptures teach us that no one can be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless honesty is paramount. We cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ unless honesty is important to us, extremely important. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must not be carnal or worldly about our worship. Our worship must be spiritual, and it must be based on truth within us, his truth within us. Psalm 51 and verse 6 reads, Psalm 51, verse 6, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So God puts great value on our truthfulness, our sincerity, our openness before him, our honesty. He does not care for the life of a fool. How can you tell if you are honest in God's eye, or how honest you really are? Well, that would require that you allow the scriptures to open up your inner being and to put on display in the light of God the truth about you, the very truth about you. And you say, well, Pastor Sabrina, that's a little intimidating to me because I'm not so sure. Well, as you'll find out, God already knows, and he wants you to know too. Amen? He wants you to know too. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Your own heart will do you in, and has done many of us in over the years. The heart, deceitful above all things. You say, well, how can that be? I've been born again. Well, the rest of you is becoming more like Christ, and that is a process. Yes, your spirit man changed, but the rest of you is walking through Romans 12, 1 and 2. Amen? And you are progressively becoming what God has always wanted you to be, from the inside outward. So the heart is deceitful. It'll pull a fast one on you in a minute. Above all things, not some things, all things. And desperately wicked. Not just wicked, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And who can trust it? I mean, since we all have this kind of a heart, until God changes that, till we ask him to change us, we all have this deceit in our heart. We're all desperately wicked in our heart. But we think we're the greatest thing that ever lived. Surely we want to know the truth today. Surely we want to know the truth. In Psalm 52, verse 4, thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. You see, the tongue and the heart are very much connected. And when you have a deceitful heart, devouring words proceed thereof. The tongue will say one thing one minute and something else the next. That's a deceitful tongue. Who knows what to believe? Who can trust such? Well, the Lord has come to help us. In Proverbs 27 and verse 6, Proverbs 27 verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Your friend's trying to help you. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And unfortunately, many of us have preferred those kisses of the enemy and found out they were not good. Amen? Just because your friend tells you you're nasty doesn't mean they're not your friend. They're trying to help you see. Yes, we all need a good friend, and his name is Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. What do you mean, keeping my sword back from blood? When the Lord calls us into spiritual warfare, and we decide we don't want to do it, and we decide that's too hard and that's too much, we curse ourselves because we're not going out to war with God. We're not being faithful to him. He gave his life for us, and we're going into war against the enemy. But you decide you want to hold back. You want to lay back. Well, that means you're one less person in agreement with the Lord. And to be not in agreement with the Lord means that you have come into agreement with the enemy. So therefore, you bring a curse upon yourself. Not why. We're going to war this week. We're going to fast and pray and do spiritual warfare and seek the Lord for healing. Surely you wish to join us because the Lord will be expecting you. Amen? We cannot do the work of the Lord and be deceitful, not be truthful, not be straightforward, not be above board, not walk in integrity, not be honest. It brings a curse in our lives when we do that. You know, my heart goes out to people who still don't understand or refuse to accept the truths about tithing. You see, they do themselves a great disservice by not tithing. They're being dishonest with God, and they don't perceive it yet. Or if they do, they decide it's not important to them or that they just don't want to do it. They want to rebel. They bring problems in their own lives. You see, one of the blessings of a tither is that the Lord rebukes the devourer for our sake. So the devourer is not rebuked from their lives. He can devour whenever he gets ready. You see, it pays to be honest with God. It really does. It pays to be honest with our God. Where, saints, do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself in this? The sword of the Spirit is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. The word of God is his power alive and on the move. It cuts swiftly and very deeply into our deepest thoughts and motives. It exposes us for what we really are. That's right. The word of God cuts through all of our foolishness and all of our pretensions and exposes us for what we really are. When you have a piece of meat with the bones still in it, when you take the knife and you move the meat and the fat away, you see the bones, you see the structure. You see it for what it really is. That was covered up before is now laid bare and open. And the word of God does that for us. Not only does it do that, but it judges what it sees. That's important because we don't want to be deluded and we don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be ashamed when we come to stand before the Lord. It cuts swiftly and very, very deeply into our deepest thoughts and motives. It exposes us for what we really are. The Lord knows absolutely everything about us. Nothing is hidden to him. All of our mischief and good is laid bare and uncovered before our God. We can't fool him at all. Nothing is hidden from him, for we must explain ourselves and our actions before his throne. That's right. How honest and faithful are you when obeying God requires suffering and loss? Do you cave in? Do you compromise the standards of God? Our God has the sharpest and most powerful perception. All of his judgments are just. The living word says to us not to withhold good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of our hand to do it. There are those that good is due them, but we don't necessarily want to release it for our own purposes when it is due. Some people have this attitude when it comes to paying their bill or paying off a loan or a debt. Amen? How honest are we really? The Bible says it is better. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without being right. It is far better to have a little and be righteous and be right with God, right with ourselves, and right with others than to have great vast of wealth but without righteousness. You see, it's important that we care. The Bible says, the living word of God says that the wicked borrow and they don't pay again. But the righteous show mercy and give. Well, so God is saying that if I borrow and I don't pay back, I'm acting wickedly? That's right. That is correct. Because you have not kept faith. What do you mean I haven't kept faith? You haven't done what you promised to do. You borrowed and you said, I will give it back to you tomorrow. I remember when I was a child, there was a cartoon, and the guy's name was Wimpy. And he used to love hamburgers. And he was forever borrowing that he could get a hamburger today. God doesn't want us to be borrowing forever, saints. The Bible says to owe no man anything but to love him. But God does not want us to be forever in debt. He wants us to grow, to mature, to prosper, and to increase. He calls us the head and not the tail, above and not above only and not beneath. Not the borrower always, but the lender. There is a place for us to embrace this. The Bible says to provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's right, honest in the sight of every human being, even children. We can't say one thing to our children and then do something else. We can't tell them to obey when we don't. We can't tell them to be honest when we are not. We can't tell them to be truthful with us when we are not truthful with ourselves, with God, and with others. Amen? In 2 Corinthians, chapter 8 and verse 21, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21, the word of God says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You see, no one should be able to find fault or to lay a charge against the manner in which we conduct business. No one should be able to put forth their finger and say, you're dishonest, you're cheating, you're stealing, you're lying, you're swindling. No one. No one should have that avenue or opportunity. And should anyone say such, it should be known to be a false accusation. You should have personal records that are above blame. What do you mean? Your personal papers should be kept in such order that you are, there's no question about your honesty and integrity. And so if you will treat yourself that way, because the Bible says we love others as we love ourselves, then surely in the marketplace, in business, in retail, you will have that demeanor and attitude because you love yourself that way. You can show records to prove that what you say from your mouth is what actually happened indeed. And most of us, unfortunately, are not that disciplined or diligent. However, we can improve, and the Lord is calling us to do so. Amen. Your personal papers should be a revealer and a testament to your uprightness in financial and personal affairs. That's right. God is looking. Your vita and resume should echo your righteous service in employment. It should speak of your service to your community. Your obituary should proclaim your good works before men, not cover up the dysfunction of your life. That's something to think about, isn't it? It certainly is. If you are a person of integrity, the Lord wants others to know about it too. Yes, he does. And in Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning with verse 20, the Bible says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive the word, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. That's right. Good ground means that dishonesty has been removed from our heart. Lying and deception have been kicked out. So we are able to bring forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? No. When you're a person that's bringing forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold, the Lord wants to put you on display, so that men and women and boys and girls can see an example of godly living and choose to pattern their lives after it. For there is nothing hid that shall which shall not be manifested. It's all coming out in the wash anyway, as my grandmother used to put it. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. So since nothing can be hid, and in our society it's pretty hard to do that, but there are those who do, when it comes out, it ought to be a good report. Even if trouble showed up along the way, it should speak of recovery and renewal. It should show forth that God's grace has moved in our lives. Amen? Amen. It should. It really should. So, in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord wants everyone to know of our good example of integrity and faithfulness. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That our faith be spoken of throughout the whole world. That's a tall order, saints. But that's what the Lord is looking for. Where do you stand in regard to that? That's a good question. Amen. I agree. He wants everyone to be encouraged and evangelized by the integrity of our lifestyles so that they will follow his holy path. Did you know you evangelize by the way you live and not just by what you say? Well, you do, because someone is always watching you. Someone is always observing you to see if this Jesus Christ that you proclaim is really the truth. So you see, saints, we do not live in a vacuum. We are on this planet to influence others toward the kingdom of God. If we are liars and dishonest, we bring dishonor to our God instead of glory to his name. If we are hypocrites, others will believe the same of our God because we are giving them a false witness of his character and nature. We say that we are the children of the Most High God. Well, ought we not to be like him? When we look at babies, we want to know which parent they resemble. Can you see the likeness of the father or the mother? That's what we ask. Since the children of disobedience in the world are always inspecting us and overly critical of us, in spite of their rejection of Jesus, shouldn't they be able to see him in us? Shouldn't that be the case? In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. You say, well, I'm older now. I'm in my 70s or 80s or 90s. But the Bible says that although you're walking in a way that's pleasing God, you're to abound more and more. You're not to say, well, I've made it to this particular pinnacle, and God should be satisfied with where I am at this age. Surprise! He's saying there's yet growth. There's yet growth to ascertain. There's yet growth to move into, to walk in. Your blossom's not full just yet. There's a sweeter fragrance to come from your life. Others need that fragrance. Don't deprive them of it. Amen? It is so. Yes, it is so. Amen. In the sixth verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such. Yes, he is. As we also have forewarned you and testified, don't defraud your brother, your sister, your friend, your neighbor, whomever. The Lord will avenge them if you do. And you know that sowing and reaping is very much alive and active. And verse 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business. That's right. You have to do your own business and to work with your own hands, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. You can't be forever borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, not forever in a day. You may have a crisis situation, but that cannot be a way of life, not for the believer. No, that's not how we live. The just shall live by faith. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. How? In all godliness and honesty. Godly living and being honest. That's where some people miss their peace. They're not living either in godliness or honesty. Amen? That's how some people miss their peace. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus increased in wisdom and in favor with God and man. So surely we can do the same. Yes, we must also increase in wisdom. That's right. Jesus did it. He is our example. We must do it as well. We must do it as well with God and with man. That is so. In Job chapter 1, verse 1, Job chapter 1, verse 1, and there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. God says, see here, I have someone like this. In verse 8, Job chapter 1, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschews evil? He shuns evil 24/7, even in his sleep. You see, saints, this is what the Lord is looking for. The Lord encourages us to use his wisdom. He says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, you know, everyone wasn't raised in an environment that taught us to be honest. some people were raised in an environment that taught them to do just the opposite. And so honesty and truthfulness and straightforwardness and integrity is something to be learned and ascertained as we grow in Christ. It's not a crime that you didn't have it from your beginning, but you are encouraged to receive it and to walk in it and to learn it and to grow. He says if you lack wisdom, if you do not have wisdom, you're forever making the wrong choices. Then let you ask of God. Ask the Lord what is the right choice. And then do what he says. Because he gives to all men liberally. He doesn't fuss at you because you didn't know it from before. You just didn't know it. And it shall be given to you. And he'll give it to you. He'll help you make the right choices by giving you the answer you need. But you must ask. You must humble yourself and come before him and seek him for that knowledge, that wisdom, and that understanding. In Psalm 119 and verse 130, Psalm 119 and verse 130, the word of God says to us that the entrance of God's word gives us light. It lets us see what is and what is not. It gives understanding unto the simple. People that just don't I can't grab it. He says his word helps you to understand. That's right. His word helps you to understand. So by all means, go to the word. He tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, to allow the word of Christ to dwell in us richly in all wisdom. That means to allow the word to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, tell us what to do, when to apply it, and how to perform it. That's right. That's what God is looking for, people that are walking in his wisdom, his spirit, his integrity, his honesty. And if you are not, you certainly can. You can change. And if you need to grow, you can do that as well. Wisdom to us is the grace and ability to see situations as the Lord himself sees them, and to judge correctly, and to live in his judgment, to flesh out our lives according to what the Lord says is the proper thing in each circumstance, not just what we've always done. Sometimes we have good habits, but good habits can be made better. Good habits can be made better if we will go to the Lord for his correction and his instruction. When we are insincere and unfaithful, are we living out of God's wisdom? Are we executing his judgment in the earth? In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6 and verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is a very important prayer. We're asking for the kingdom of God to come reign over our lives. Just as the Father's will is done in heaven, we're asking for that will to be done in the earth through our lives. It's important that we flesh out the will of the Father while we're here on earth. We won't be able to give excuses for it when we come before his throne to give an account. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is continually working in us, causing us to desire, to will, and also to perform his good pleasure. He's working to get us to want to do it, and he's working to get us to actually do it. Let's work with God. Amen? Let's work with the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Respect of persons. Yes, you have a preference. You already have a preference. You already have pitted in your mind one sect or one group or one person versus another person, and you're giving someone an unfair advantage. It is not good. It does not please the Lord to have respect of persons in judgment. You know, the Lord just brought to my mind a circumstance in life when I was working in the retail sector. I was behind the counter, and a lady approached, and it was obvious by looking at her that she didn't buy her clothes at Saks Fifth Avenue. She was not rich. In fact, she may not have even been middle class. She might have been poor. Came in, and she needed my attention and my counsel and my wisdom. And so I gave her my undivided attention, something that she deserved to have. And as I was helping her and talking with her, another lady came in who you can tell purchased her clothes at a very posh establishment. And what she wanted was for me to give her my attention. Well, you see, the lady that was not so wealthy came in first. And it would not have been right for me to shut her off just to turn and give my attention to the lady that came in dressed, some, you know, quite well. But you see, that very lady that was dressed so well was infuriated because I continued to talk and to work with this other woman and her problem. She was not willing to wait. She was impatient and demanding and insisting that I give her immediate attention. Well, you see, I didn't do it. I continued my original conversation. I was not going to be respect of persons because that did not please the Lord. And so the lady with the nice clothing walked off in a huff. And she went on to tell the management how I ignored her and on and on and on and on and on. But you see, I wouldn't do it. I knew it was wrong. I knew down in my inner man where the word of God is written on my heart that to do such a thing would displease my heavenly Father. So I wouldn't do it. I kept talking to the lady that didn't have the fine clothes until all of her questions were answered. and her need was met. You see, saints, God is always watching what we do. Do we show respect of persons in business? Do we do that? Do we sell to our friends at one price and to others at a higher price? Do we provide services for our friends that we are not willing to perform for others who are in need? Do we do that? Do we share insider information to our closest companions and overlook others that we know need this information? Do we hold it back from them? Dishonesty says that we are not worthy of trust and should not be believed. Is dishonesty found in you? Is it a true reflection of our God? Proverbs 11:1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. An abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. Well, which way do your scales swing? Do you cheat in tests and exams? Do you cheat? Do you cheat others out of that which is rightfully there? Theft, covetousness, wanting what others have, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil thoughts of lust, an evil eye of envy, blasphemy and slander, pride and foolishness. These evils come from within and mar the reflection of our Heavenly Father to others. Our thought life pollutes us. Our thoughts affect our heart, out of which flow the issues of our lives. Do you cheat the time clock? Do you? Do you stay extra long on lunch break? How many coffee breaks do you take? Do you give an honest day's work? Do you pilfer? Do you steal things that have small value? Do you? Do you promise to be faithful to your spouse, but then betray or deceive them in little things? Do you hide things from them and conceal the truth? Do you do that? Those things that you do possess, did you come by them honestly? Or did a shady deal take place? In 1 Samuel chapter 14, the Lord says something very interesting through Jonathan, Saul's son. He says, maybe that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Well, now, what does that have to do with honesty, you say? Well, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and find out. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and find out. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. That's right. The devil stood up against the nation of Israel and provoked its leader to number Israel. Well, what's so bad about counting the number of people there are? Well, you got to think about this a little. Did God say to do that? No, God didn't. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Satan did that. And David, by doing it, came into agreement with Satan. That's very dangerous, extremely dangerous, for the leader of a nation to come into agreement with Satan. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. Well, why do you need to know how many there are? If you're depending on the Lord and not on numbers, what value is that information? Do you remember with Gideon? The Lord reduced his army. He told him he had too many, lest they say, we did this and not God. We got this victory. So God reduced his number. Do you remember when Jonathan and his armor bearer won a victory and it was just two of them? So you see, God is not differing by numbers. He doesn't care if he saves by many or by few. So when we go to looking around and deciding what is great and wonderful, if we judge it by numbers, we're in sin already. Because what we should be looking for is the power of God and the move of God. And Job answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require it this? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? So you see, Joab is saying, this isn't a good thing that you're trying to do. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Whereof Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew swords. And Judah was 430,000 men that drew swords, counting the women and children to see. That's not what he's doing. He's counting the warriors. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. Joab couldn't stand what he was doing. He knew it was wrong. Down in his gut, he knew it was wrong. But he humbled himself and obeyed. And God was displeased with this thing. God didn't like it either. Therefore, he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Sometimes, saints, we make the wrong choice. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee. Well, here comes the punishment. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes while the sword of thy enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land. And the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord. For very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. That was wisdom. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. 70,000 men. How many daddies is that? How many husbands is that? How many sons is that? 70,000 men had to die because David sided with Satan and not the Lord. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, "It is enough, stay now thine hand." And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Israel. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, "Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." And the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. And David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for meat offering. I give it all." And King David said to Ornan, pay attention, saints, because this is crucial. "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." So David gave Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. So you see, saint, David, though he was wrong, he wouldn't offer to God something that did not take from his life, that wasn't out of his spirit. He wasn't going to take somebody else's thing and say, "Okay, here, God, here you can have this. You'll be satisfied." No, it had to come from David. And it's this attitude that God appreciated. God appreciated, you see? David said, "I will not take that which is thine, which is somebody else's for the Lord, when I'm offering a sacrifice unto him for my own sin." nor will I offer burnt offerings that don't cost me anything. You see, this is another place where people that don't tithe miss the Lord. You know, you get your tithes through whatever you do for business or employment. You have to give your life and your time and your labor to obtain it. It costs you something. It wasn't free. And of that, you offer to the Lord. That's the right attitude. So you see, when you don't, what you in essence say to the Lord is, my life is more important to me than your life, God, is to me. And that's serious. That's a very powerful statement. For you to say to God by your actions, by your attitude, by your beliefs, by your actions, that your life takes the preeminence with you and the life of God does not. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous indeed. You see, this is an heart of integrity, which is solely lacking in society today. Even though David had sinned against God, Israel paid the consequences, David refused to offer to God something that was separate from his heart and did not exact anything of his life. Saints, we must learn to please and serve the Lord from the sincerity of our heart, not as men pleasers, not in an outward show, but in truth and honesty. That's right. In truth and in honesty. It's very, very important. In money matters, we must be truthful with ourselves, with our God, and with others. We must live our lives above reproach. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God has to be pleased with our financial walk, with our spiritual walk, with our love walk. God must be pleased. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one where? Inwardly. And circumcision, that is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God, just like Job. You see? This is what God is looking for. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Philippians 2, verse 15. Amen. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. He wants us blameless. He doesn't want us doing any harm. The sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Well, we know where that is now, don't we? Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's what God's looking for. Amen. That's what he is looking for. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Not just evil itself. even the appearance, giving the impression of evil. From that, abstain. Amen. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. A pattern of good works means you have a continual discipline and habit of doing things uprightly and above board. Amen? And doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. You're not corrupt. You know what corruptness is. Being serious and being sincere. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part might be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. No one at the bank, at the credit union, at the loan department should have anything adverse to say about you. Amen. Nor anywhere else either. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. Glorify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, your good life in Christ. You see, saints, we have to live, even in our finances, in such a way that people would be ashamed to say anything wicked about us. We need to be of good report within ourselves, in our family lives, in our private lives, and among people in the world. Now, some of you think that this is primarily about money, but you are mistaken in that matter. We have to be honest in our relationships as well. That's right. You can't say to your spouse, honey, I promise such and such, but then do just the opposite. It's not honesty. You can't say to your children, children, I want you to obey what I say, but then you don't obey the Lord and what he said. That's right. And some parents are reaping the disobedience and rebellion and pride that they have sown. It hasn't dawned on them yet that the reason they're getting this out of their child is because repentance is required on their part. You see, you can't teach what you don't live. You can't impart what you don't have. And there are many other areas where this applies. You see, you can't tell your employees or your workers, do thus and so, give me a full day's work, but you don't do that. That's hypocrisy. That's not honesty. That's not uprightness. That's not righteousness. So you see, saints, the Lord has a lot to say to us today. What would your creditors say of you? Can they see Jesus in you? Is every bill paid on time? Do you have a good credit rating? You know, in your family, you have a budget. Do you stick with the budget as agreed? Are you forever breaking the bank? Do you have a good reputation for honesty and integrity in the marketplace? Do you offer a superior product, or is it less than superior? Do you ask the Lord to open the eyes of your understanding so that you can learn to be more diligent in your business dealing? Do you do that? Or do you fraudulently make orders for services with no intention to pay? Do you do that? Do you deal justly in all your business transactions? Are you a godly credit manager in your own affairs? Do you manage your credit in a godly way yourself? How do you handle overdue accounts of your own? That's a good question. How do you do that? Is your inability to pay due to a misrepresentation of funding? When unable to meet obligations, do you seek the Lord for grace and favor and a plan to properly handle these obligations? Do you? Do you carry debt too long? Do you allow fear, anxiety, and worry to cloud your judgment and appraisal of the facts? Do you overspend your budget on a regular basis because you're covetous, because you just got to have it? Do you seek the Lord for his counsel and correction? Saints, how honest are you? God is asking. He's looking for a response. And each of us must come before his throne. Each of us must tell him how honest we are. Amen? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word to us today. We want to thank you for the questions and for the challenges and for provoking us to look inward and to trust you to show us the way into righteousness. And now the benediction. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I pray, saints, that you receive something from the message today. God was very clear and explicit, and I know that growth will come as a result of you applying the truth to your own life and heart. Amen. Pastor loves you. God bless you. And let's get into this fast this week. Amen. God bless.
I heard a beautiful story. Somehow